no way he's quicker than me. So like, just let him go to the outside and just take, go low. And he did this like step where honestly like missed him. He just like jumped my outside and I was like, oh God. And I like caught back up with him. I was like, all right, just go low. He just hands me off straight to the face. I go flying back. He breaks the line, throws it, I think, to Isova. And he scored. Gosh. It was the very first play. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what have I got myself into here? Like,
Joe presents House of Rugby, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Hello and welcome along to House of Rugby together with Bank of Ireland. I'm Greg O'Shea. It's Monday morning and I'm joined by the lovely Lindsay Pete. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm loving our colour coordination on some level. We went from blue for Jimmy.
Yeah, we did. We do. We've Jimmy O'Brien sitting beside you, an old friend of mine from the Sevens tour. I'm old and retired now, but he's still plugging away. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Yeah, not too bad. I obviously didn't get the memo on the clothes.
No, you don't need to. No one told me. Well, this wasn't even chatted about. We didn't even WhatsApp about it, so...
No, you look great, Lindsay. Thanks so much for coming in, Jimmy. Obviously, it's a Monday, but you seem to have today off. You'd usually be training, but it's because you're getting ready to play Munster next weekend, yeah?
Yeah, we've got a long weekend this weekend because the Munster game's on the Monday, the 26th, yeah. So, Monday off, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
It's nice to have a long weekend around Christmas.
Exactly, yeah. And you had a Christmas night out in the weekend.
Yeah, we had our team social on Saturday, so still slightly recovering from that.
Did you have any Christmas paraphernalia? Was there any...
Just a few Christmas jumpers. Well, we split up into groups and Will Connors was the leader of my group and he bought us all Christmas jumpers and stuff for the six of us. Yeah, so I'll just send him the money now for the after.
You just reminded me.
Yeah, just reminded me. He's chasing ads up for that now.
I don't think you want Will Connors chase for your money, do you?
No, God, no. I see enough of him. I don't need to be getting on his bad side.
Yeah.
That's pretty the Leinster,
money is coming, Will.
The Leinster Christmas night out, was it well behaved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Kind of split up into groups and then met up together and yeah, it was a bit of crack. Yeah.
Nice.
Any 12 pubs or what?
No, I kind of just went to a couple. I don't think any of us would last 12 pubs.
this God, is true.
No, yeah.
12 pubs just is so hard to do, like in general. Like, there's no way you're getting to 12, especially with the lads and fellas start getting separated.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, but when you find a good pub then and it's like pub two and you're like, oh, I'm not moving here, the Guinness is good, it's good crack.
Exactly,
sorry.
Yeah.
So we won't be seeing any Leinster lads in the headlines this morning, all well behaved.
God, no, never. We're all very well behaved.
And were the coaches with you or just the players?
No, just the players.
Well, thank God, no Sean O'Brien or anything like that. No drama.
Fun.
Yeah,
no comment.
All right, so Jimmy, you are just... I've been reading through kind of your history and the brief here before coming on. Forget how much you've done, man. I know we're good mates, like, but I'm just like, oh my God, you've done so much. So I want to bring it all the way back to... You started in Newbridge College, which is quite a different route to take than most Leinster lads.
Yeah.
So how did you get on in Newbridge? Were you always like the top man there or what happened there?
Yeah, kind of. There was a guy, Jake Howlett, who was unbelievable as well in my year, and he played Leinster underage. And, but I started in Newbridge whenever I was... Well, I was in Nace before. I went to Newbridge then and just played whatever, Junior Cup, Senior Cup and stuff. And then was played out half pretty much the whole way up. A year at scrum half, maybe. I was a second year, played a year at scrum half and in fourth year. And just played Newbridge. And I love Newbridge. Obviously, we don't produce that many professional rugby players. It's like James Tracy or Jamie Heasop. Then I James Tracy, then myself. And now Sam Prendergast, well, Keane Prendergast over in Connacht.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam Prendergast, his younger brother. He's coming up through Leinster now. So it's kind of once every like 5 or 6 years, we kind of seem to get some.
Well, yeah. They're world-class names, like you've just listed. Like,
yeah, so it's not too bad. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and was it always the plan to play rugby? Because Newbridge wouldn't be like known as one of the top rugby schools to go to. So was it just you happened to go there, happened to play rugby and happened to be good?
Kind of, yeah. I was kind of in between. I liked rugby, so I played Ga and rugby the whole way up. And I was in between going to Newbridge or Clongowes. And I didn't get into Newbridge for ages. My parents paid the deposit for Clongowes. And then I got into Newbridge real late. And I was like, I didn't want to board because I wanted to still play Ga. So then I ended up going to Newbridge. But I was about 2 months before I went into the first year, I was going to Clongowes. Like,
no way.
Yeah. So thankfully, I'm happy I didn't go. So I wanted to play Ga. Like, so that's why I wanted to stay in Newbridge. But I was basically playing Ga and rugby all the way up to minor. Played Ga, yeah. So.
What position were you in Ga?
Midfield or like halfback. Yeah. So they basically just got me to run around.
The engine.
Literally just like, there was a coach I had and we had another midfielder who was way more skillful than me. He used to play like soccer and stuff and he used to only show up on the weekends because his dad wouldn't let him train during the week.
Yeah.
And our coach would be like, all right, Jimmy, you're going to have to run around and mark the two lads. And we'll just let Adam, this guy I call Adam Harney, he was unbelievable. And I was like, we'll just let Adam do his thing, kind of. And I'd be like, yeah, okay. No problem.
I think you're being a bit modest now about that, but like.
No, honestly, that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And did you play minors for Kildare?
No, I got trials and then didn't get called back. That's when I was kind of in between picking a guy in rugby. So I got trials for Kildare minor. Me and Rowan Osborne, actually, two of us got trials from our club and went to trials 1 or 2 weeks and then never got the phone call back. So that was kind of like, I think I'll go with rugby.
I prefer rugby now. Yeah.
And you're a small little town, Eadstown. Yeah. Found that right. And obviously, no more than what Newbridge have produced. Kind of give us the background of the story of some of the players that have obviously come from a small town that were unexpected as well.
Yeah, there's sort of from tiny little, it's a village maybe, but not even sure. It's kind of just a crossroads. Like there's no shop.
Church. No shop.
There's just a church and a gap hitch. There's a pub like 10 minute drive, like in Kilteel, which is kind of like half part of the parish. But the closest place is Nace or Blessington, and there's no shop, nothing. And
Irish, rural Ireland.
We just picked this lad up passing a church.
But I was down one end of the church towards like the little primary school, and we all went. I went there, and then Tyke Byrne, his family, just up the road, the far side of the church, and then towards the Blessington side was Dermot Kilgallen. And then Rowan Osborne went to the same, me and him went to primary school together since we were 4 or 5 and played like guy and everything. And he was from just up the road as well. It's a bit of a mad.
Incredible players there.
From a tiny little whatever village, Eadstown. Yeah.
Whatever you're doing there is something.
Keep going, Eadstown. Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Yeah. But I think we need to give a little shout out to Rowan Osborne as well. He unfortunately had to retire recently, right?
Yeah, he had to retire because of concussion there at the end of the season with Munster. So it's pretty disappointing. I'd be very close friends with him. He actually just moved in to me and Will Connors, lived together, and we lived with Conor O'Brien, who actually also had to retire because of hamstring injuries, and he moved back home to Mullingar, and Rowan moved in. So it's great to have him around, but it's pretty disappointing for him to retire.
I'd say, I'd like to get your perspective on it. It must put it all really into reality of how vicious the game is. Your best friends having to retire at, 25?
Yeah, 25, the two of them are 25. Yeah.
Does it make you kind of think about, your future life, or...?
It was when the two lads told me, it's pretty kind of like, I think me and Will were similar, because we were playing whatever, you can just stop whenever, and you have no real control over it. I know for Connor, when he was coming back from, he just got a terrible run injury. It was hamstring, ACL, hamstring, all the hamstrings off the bone, all in a row. And he was doing everything, to get back, everything he was in
it's
early,
a dark place,
did,
isn't it,
yeah.
Rehab?
And he was doing everything to get back. And just his body just, kind of failed on him, almost his hamstring. It was just so tough to watch and stuff. And I just felt so bad for him. But it did put, me and Will have been, you literally have no control, anything could happen, and you just have to enjoy it when you can.
That's one thing I get from the Leinster squad, is that it just has this camaraderie and this, we won't divulge any secrets here, but I know in your gym there's all this brotherhood, and you can actually ooze that off you. So I'm sure it's terrible to have those injuries, but you seem such a good group that you kind of buzz off each other and push each other through.
Yeah, 100%.
True?
Yeah. I think that comes from everyone coming up through the system together, and obviously it's talked about so much how Leinster produce so many good players, and we all play Leinster underage, usually all come up together. And I think that makes it, because I'm playing with lads who I've played with since we were under 18s in Leinster. So I've grown up with all these lads, and we go into the senior squad together. My academy group was some of my best friends in there,
which
Will Connors.
Lovely,
Will Connors, Conor Brown, Hugh O'Keenan, James Ryan, Max Deegan, Andrew Porter. Terry Kennedy was in there for a while as well. We would have played from under 18s, under 19s, under 20s, and then you're going into the academy together, you're going into senior squad together. And I think basically everyone in there has that kind of group. So everyone's really good friends, and then everyone mixes so well in there as well. So
Did you train with Kieran Hallett? Kieran had us with Ireland. He's a really good guy.
He's really good, He's just gone over to Melbourne, hasn't he? Melbourne Rebels.
Is that where he's gone? I saw his Instagram post.
I didn't get it.
We can edit that, don't worry. But he's a really good guy. And even what he brought to our squad in the short period, so I can see just his professionalism, his knowledge, his fancy predator boots that he used to get. And I said that to him, I can just see the energy he brings even out, it comes from that squad. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's a great squad to be part of, to be honest.
Yeah, now you can see that.
Yeah, but that is the beauty of Leinster, I think, is that what, 99.9% of the lads in the team are from Leinster.
Yeah.
You have like Ngatai and maybe one or two others that aren't, which is just so, because you look at these other teams like Racing or whatever, who are just littered with like world-class players, but they're not from wherever Racing is. Do you know what I mean? And it just says a lot about the team, and that's probably why you're doing so well. Like, you're willing to put your head in a place for someone that you just know who's one of your best friends, rather than just a guy getting brought in that's getting paid like a ridiculous amount of money. You know?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think we talk about it as well. We have to like use it as a motivating thing as well. Like, it's all well and good to be like, oh yeah, we're all from the same place, but like, you have to use that as kind of a point of difference against other teams, like, because that they're not all from the same area, or they're not all from the same like province or place. So we do kind of talk about that and how we're all kind of grown up. We all grew up supporting Leinster. It just means a lot for us to play for Leinster and stuff like that. Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's like that intangible benefit. Like, you just you have that passion to play for Leinster that you can't get playing for like a Racing or Claremont or something like that.
What the other bit is, you've so, like, even just the small list that you just named there of your best friends are all like world class, like, you've won the Champions Cup, these are all in Irish squads. The other bit is, like, Leinster have produced such depth, and like, there's no drop in the standard. And even when you went down 14 against Ulster and just scraped that, like, and then you come back and you absolutely annihilate Racing, everyone just knows their role. Like, there's this mental, and I know Ryan Barrett alluded to it after the Ulster game, that there's just this mentality that you know your role and you just know you're going to be safe. Like, how do you build that? How do you, like, know that Greg's your best friend, but he could take your jersey next week and you're just as happy as it, or vice versa? Like, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I think you have to think about it more of a bigger kind of picture. It's like a squad working together, like, or trying to win something together. No one's really in it for personal like accolades, I don't think, at all. And then so everyone's kind of like focused, win the Champions Cup, win the ORC, like, and it's more of a squad effort rather than like one or two lads trying to go off and do their own thing. I think you said Berto said like about knowing a role, like, that's 100% it. Like, and in Leinster, well, I remember even coming up, like, there's always good lads ahead of you and there's always good lads behind you in Leinster. So, like, you can't worry about, oh no, if this lad's playing, is he going to play well? Like, yeah, he probably is. Like, he's going to be a world-class player. Like, in Leinster, there's literally going to be unbelievable lads in front of you and behind you. You just have to worry about yourself. That's right. I kind of think about it anyway.
No, that is good, because obviously you're thinking of the elite athlete, but then you're putting it in sport. Like, so, like, even the battle between Kelleher and Sheehan is, like, fantastic. But, like, Keller starts with the tries and Sheehan's still scoring it. Like, it's just amazing. Like, the level, I just find it fascinating.
Well, say for instance now with Josh Van der Fleer getting World Player of the Year, does he get a bit of stick, or, like, you know, how does that?
How can you slag such a good guy?
Yeah, does he come in like, oh, look at this guy thinking he's the big man now, or how does that work?
Oh, like, yeah, he gets a bit of stick. Like, but like, as in, like, he'd be the last person to get carried away. Like, I don't think anyone really would. But yeah, he gets a bit of stick, but like, he's just so good anyway, so.
You don't seem to have any kind of auras about you, even though you've been so dominant for seasons. Like, it just comes across like these guys are just here to get a job done and no one's getting too big for their boots.
I think, definitely no one's kind of getting carried away or anything like that. And well, we didn't win anything last year, so definitely no one's getting carried away this year. Like, that's still, like, losing that Champions Cup final last year, that, like, still haunts, like, a lot of us, I think. We were even saying we were over in Racing there. Good few is when we walked out onto the pitch, like, the stadium seemed, it was like a football stadium as well, and it seemed so similar to the Velodrome in Marseille. And all of us, like, there was a couple of us, we talked about it after, that we were all thinking, like, geez, it's the exact same as the Racing Stadium, or the one we played La Rochelle in. And no one wanted to say it to each other, because we're all like, that'll, like, we don't want to bring that match up, like,
ignore that.
I was thinking, I was like, this seems so similar. And I was like, no, don't think about it. But yeah, like, I don't think we're getting too big for boots. I know, like, lads are still very annoyed about last year.
So that's kind of the chip on the shoulder you have for this season. Don't get too ahead of yourselves, because we lost last year against La Rochelle. Yeah. So it's cool to see
nice
that
to
mindset,
be,
isn't it?
In the final in Dublin, like, hopefully a Leinster squad in a final, in Dublin in May. Be nice.
That'd be like, top. God, dreams.
The kind of, make a difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Written in the stars for sure. But we'll see, there's a lot more rugby to play before then. But we want to bring it back now. You were mentioned there coming through the system with the lads, the 18s, 19s, 20s, through the academy and into the senior team. What was your first stepping stone to get into the academy? Did you go sub-academy or straight
in? So did a year in sub-academy where you're down in Donnybrook at 7 a.m. With the same lads. It was still Will was there, Connor, Cobb, James Ryan, Max Deegan, all the lads, same lads, all there did that year together. And I remember, like, I was like a 10/12 coming out of school. I was still pretty undersized, still kind of am. Still hasn't worked. But they had me in like the first couple of months. Will was the same. Will was too small as well coming out of school. And they had us in. So usually you'd come in Monday, Tuesday, gym at 7 a.m. and Thursday, Friday. You get Wednesday off. For like the first like 3 months, I was in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
You got gym extras.
Oh, yeah, because like I was just tiny. Like, and they were trying. I was in between like 10, 12. And they were like, oh, if you want to play 12, you have to be a bit bigger, like, or whatever. So they had me in like every morning. I used to be dreading it. Like, and I used to go back. I was living on campus in UCD. And I used to go back and just go straight back to sleep. Like, wouldn't go into college at all. I'd be like knackered after doing it. And I'd be like, because I never, like in Newbridge, we did not do gym.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, no. Like, it was like, our gym was a shed, out, like an old stables out the back.
And has that changed now?
Yeah, it's changed. Oh, they have like a full setup now. They got an S&C guy in. But our year was the first year that they tried to do it. And it was a stables out the back that had like, it was like outside. It was just like a sheet of metal over the roof. And like, so, and they would try to get lads to go at like 7 a.m. and no one was going. Like, yeah, no one wanted to go. And they'd like no real equipment, nothing. And like, so I had like no gym behind me basically going in there. So yeah, I was pretty shocked at the system the first couple of months.
It was a baptism of fire. Every morning, 7 a.m. In RDS, gymming.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it paid off because then you got yourself into the Irish 20 squad,
yeah,
which is one of the most successful Irish 20 squads ever. You beat New Zealand.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, that was mental, yeah. So we actually weren't that good in the Six Nations. We like lost our first two games, I think. Yeah, lost to Wales at home, which is bad.
Oh, God.
Lost to France away. Got, like, pumped by France away, like, 40-something, like, 10 or something. It was real bad. Then they went on a run, beat England, Scotland, and Italy, obviously. And so it was kind of good. Then going into World Cup, we had Wales in the first game, and it was, like we had lost by 20 points somewhere. Jeez, this could go anyway. And I think we, like, scraped win. I was on the bench for all the games, so I was 23. It was Cobb, Conor O'Brien. Somehow in the Six Nations, they had me at 12 and Conor O'Brien on the wing, which like...
It's a weird way to put it.
Yeah, he's like 100 kg, 100 plus kg center, like, and yeah. I was like 89 kg, like, I don't know how they had that. Like, it should have been swapped. Yes. So for the World Cup, he was 12 and Shane Daly was 13 and I was 23. And yeah, I just went on a run, somehow beat them, beat Wales, then beat the All Blacks. Amazing. After, which was mental, like I was, yeah. We weren't expecting that at all going into like
And some incredible names in that squad as well that you're playing with. Same kind of guys, Hugo Keane and Shane Daly.
Yeah, Shane Daly, James Ryan, Max Deegan, Andrew Porter, Jacob Stockdale.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a
Ryan was the captain, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It just shows how the Irish system works, doesn't it, Lindsay, with all these guys just coming up through the ranks.
And look at them now, like, you know, obviously James Ryan has stepped in now at captaincy at Irish level, like, and obviously, we spoke during the summer series when you guys were away in New Zealand, and even the emerging tour, like, it's just still this production line of fantastic players. And we're obviously going back through your history, and now you're here now. So it's lovely to see that, like, hopefully the success will obviously carry through to Paris next year. But even through the provinces, and obviously Munster are going to make a comeback now in Europe. So, you know, we've lots of, you know, I just think lots of positives, great names.
It is. The Irish Rugby have definitely built up a brilliant system there. And a part of that system is the Sevens team, where me and Jimmy spent a lot of time together, too much time together. And just bring me back to those days for you. Do you think they were developmental years for you, just being out there? I remember one time specifically, you were playing in the centre against Semi Radradra.
Oh, God, that was developmental anyway. That was not good.
That? I think that was over in London in Twickenham Sevens.
I can literally have a vivid memory of the first scrum. I was one-on-one with them. And Sevens, and you're in centre, like, you're 40 metres of space, like, and it was Radradra. And I was like, all right, there's no way, because I would back my pace. I would have been slow actually going into the sevens.
Yeah.
I was like a 10. I wasn't really that quick. And then I got faster as I was in there just because whatever, sprinting. And I'd be like, all right, there's no way he's quicker than me. So like, just let him go to the outside and just go low. And he did this like step where I honestly like missed him. He just like jumped my outside. And I was like, oh God. And I like pop back up with him. I was like, all right, just go low. He just hands me off straight to the face. I go flying back. He breaks the line, throws it, I think, to Tuisova. And he scored. It was the very first play. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, what have I got myself into here? Like, I think they beat us, what, like 40-something, 7, was it, or something like that? That was the semi, wasn't it?
It's either sink or swim, like, in that kind of scenario. Like, and do you think those kind of games from the sevens has helped you get to where you are now?
Oh, definitely. As I said, like, I was kind of like, I was a 10/12 going into the academy that first year when I was in the academy, played for Leinster A's, like 13. And that was like my first time kind of playing 13. I think I played 2 games of 13, 2 games of 10, maybe a game or more 13. I can't really remember. But I was kind of like figuring out what kind of position, and they didn't really have, they were kind of just moving me around. And then going to the sevens, I think, was just great for your confidence and stuff. Like, you're just playing week in, week out. You're taking lads on one-on-one. You're beating lads. Like, I didn't think I could beat lads one-on-one before that. Like, I was like a 10, like, ball playing kind of. Like, I didn't really have, like, footwork or whatever. So you kind of get quicker, like, fitter, like, tackling and stuff like that. You just get a lot of confidence from what I found. And, yeah, it helped me a lot when I came back, I think.
Yeah, because you were doing kind of doubling up. You were in Leinster, but then you came in up to sevens. Yeah. And a lot of lads have done that along the way. Yeah. Like, Hugo Keenan did it. Yeah. It was kind of him at 10, you at 12.
Yeah,
Terry or Jordan at 13 on the wing.
The wing, yeah.
Will Connors came across for a while. Shane Daly came across for a while. So do you think that system does work for getting lads into the Irish 15s team?
Yeah, I think it does. Like, you can see there's so much. We're only saying it there. I think when in the South Africa game, it was me, Rob, Balakun, and you were all playing at the same time. Then we all played in Hong Kong whenever we lost the first year in 2018 was that when we lost? Yeah. So we were all playing that tournament, like, and it shows, like, it definitely works, like, and helps, like, because other countries have done it before. Like, France used to, like, they used to bring lads from sevens and stuff like that.
It just accelerates your skills, I'd say, because you're just repping that, you know, consistently. Yeah. And obviously then you're playing games, so you're putting this decision-making under pressure. So
100%, yeah.
We'd see it with the girls as well, just... Yeah. It's the quickest way, and I suppose they say that for us, because obviously girls rugby is so far behind, the sevens is the quickest way to kind of just embed it. So I'd say the same with you guys.
You just get the touches on the ball as well. Absolutely. So much more, like, and get more comfortable on the ball playing and stuff like that, I found anyway for me, yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah, I remember from the start of me and you training together in the sevens to when you left to go into the Leinster squad, you just got so much faster, man. It was crazy. You know, whatever you were doing.
I didn't know what I was doing, to be honest. I wasn't. I think I got it from my dad. My dad was like a sprinter when he was younger.
Yeah.
So he didn't play rugby. He played GA a bit and did like athletics. But I was never really that quick, like in school or anything. I never had like out and out, like loads of pace or anything like that. I think the sevens just somehow, you're sprinting all the time, all the time or whatever, yeah.
And how do you compare the sevens training with all that kind of high-end sprinting compared to Leinster training or Irish training in the 15s?
Is it very different? It's pretty different. You're just way more high speed meters in the sevens. But then when you go to the 15s, to that kind of level, like the decision making and the time you have to make decisions is just like way quicker. Like in sevens, you have a bit more time on the ball, but you're like way more tired because you're literally like sprinting around like a headless chicken at times. I remember some games like you're playing and you honestly have no idea what's going on. You're just like running for the sake of running, like, so it's a bit different, but the training with sevens is definitely way more like sprints, high speed meters, everything like that.
Yeah,
but probably mentally, I'd say the 15s training, you have to be like switched on all the time,
especially with Stuart Lancaster coaching, I'd say.
But he just likes running you, Like, I'm really pretty high anyway, but he just gets you loads of which works, like, you get so many reps. And everyone gets involved, like the 40 lads maybe training. So that's why it's so good for young lads in Leinster, I find, anyway.
Yeah, give us a quick insight into those Stuart Lancaster sessions. How does it work? Because we hear about it, but I don't know exactly what happens.
Yeah. What's a typical week like for you guys?
Monday, about like maybe 20 minutes to. It'd be pretty intense, like 20 minutes, but nothing like crazy. It's a Tuesday one where you're doing like about 40 minutes with him.
Yeah.
Where usually in like there could be like three teams depending on how many lads, and it's just like rep after rep after rep, and it could be like running from one end of the pitch to the other, defending a team here, defending a team here, team here.
Just all the scenarios.
Yeah, all scenarios, all like basically just getting you really fatigued and then playing really quick to try and like get your mind to be able to like play under pressure. And it's like when young lads come in, you can see when they're doing like their first or second session, they're like all over the place.
Like a deer in headlights.
Oh yeah, they're completely bamboozled. But you get into it pretty quick. Mm. Like I was the same. I had no clue what was going on the first time I did it. But I think it's really good because it gets young lads involved, because he does the three teams. And it could be three teams, 15, 45 lads training. And young lads are getting their time in the ball. They're like playing. They actually get like reps and stuff because he does it so quickly. So I think that helps a lot with the academy lads, like integrating into the senior squad.
Yeah.
That's amazing, yeah. And then your breakout year with Leinster was kind of 2018, 2019 is when you got in. And your first debut game for Leinster, I think you got 2 tries against Dragons. You're right in saying that?
That was my second.
It was your second?
My first start. That was my first start.
Your first start.
I played 15 minutes off the bench the week before. And then my first start away to Dragons, I was playing 13. It was me and Conor O'Brien, me and Cobb, He was 12, I was 13, and Scottish. Jammy Digo threw me this big loopy pass out on the wing, I think, and I scored and like walk ins, like literally just like
take it.
Well, that's part of it, man. You got to be there to get those tries, and you kept going. You've gotten all your starts behind your belt now. And then the 2020-21 season was really where you kind of came into your own. I think you got nominated for European Player of the Year at the end of that year.
Yeah.
So what did
you... Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, congratulations, which is unbelievable, man. But I think you started most games. You had 19 appearances, I think, 9 tries, 4 in one game against Bath.
Yeah.
Which is...
More walking, so on.
Unbelievable. You're so modest, like, you won't take the
compliment.
Yeah, typical Leinster lads. Yeah. Just blowing it off. Oh, I just want to thank the team. Just want to thank the coach.
Honestly, you can get them up. They were walking. So honestly, they were just standing out there.
But is there something you did in that kind of season that just... It clicked for you? Was it like... some diet thing or different training or what?
Be on the extra weights again?
No, I haven't been on them for a while. I think I just got a run of games. So like before that season, I would have got, the first season I was like 7 something caps, a lot off the bench. Then the second season, I felt like I was getting a run and COVID hit. So I'd started like 3 or 4 games just before COVID hit. And I was like feeling really good. And then COVID hit, whatever. And then it was just when COVID came back, Hugo went into, that's when he kind of got his break, just the end of COVID. Mm. And he would have been kind of like wanting to play 15. And I hadn't a clue about 15. I was like 13 basically at that stage. And there was a run of games when that Autumn Internationals where Hugo's in it and Will was in it. And Leo basically asked me, could I play 15? And I hadn't a clue. Like I was like, yeah, no problem. But I told him I played out in school and stuff. And he was like, yeah, perfect. Like you're going to play. And I got a run of 5 games in a row at 15. And it was just playing week in, week out helped me so much, I think. Just because like before this first season, I was in and out of the team, whatever, maybe on the bench, but I just got 5 80 minutes in a row. And then just gave me confidence kind of to be like, all right, I kind of belong at this level. Like before, you weren't really sure, like, or whatever, would I like sink or swim? And I played them 5 games in a row, and that just gave me confidence then to kind of kick on. And then I think I went, played the Montpellier away, I think was my first European one. Then Bath was, a couple of days, a month or two after, yeah.
Amazing. Nice. The thing that kind of separates you from the rest, Jimmy, is that you can play any position really, from 10 to 15.
I was sitting here thinking the same. I was like, right, so he's covered 10 wing, both centers.
Yeah, he's named every position the last couple of minutes. Yeah. So what is that about? Like, is it something that you meant to do yourself, or you just happen to be like, oh, I can do that if you want? Like,
more so that. I think I just kind of like they were like, oh, can you play there? And I was like, yeah, no problem. Like it kind of just happened all the way up, like, even in the academy, had to play 10 for the A's the odd time. They're just like, they didn't have any 10s. They're like, you've played 10 before, haven't you? I was like, yeah, no problem. just kind of embrace it, yeah. And at this stage, I don't really mind, like, wherever they put me,
it's 10's obviously the hardest. Yeah.
If I have to get to 10 now, I'd be kind of panicking, I think, a little bit. Like, you have to do so much extra stuff and you're running everything there, but you do a lot more homework, I think, if you're playing 10. But the other positions, no real issue. And then I think I got 10 minutes scrum half last year.
No way.
In the Champions Cup game against Connacht, Jamo Skipson Park got a yellow, and I have to go in scrum half then if the scrum half gets a yellow.
Nice.
Just because I played a year when I was 16, maybe, or 14 or something, and when there was only like 2 scrum halves training, they did in 3 teams things. Stu used to put me in a scrum half the odd time when I was a young lad. So now if there's a yellow card, if any scrum half gets a yellow card, I have to jump in. Yeah.
And do you have any position you'd say is your favourite if you were to get a choice?
Honestly, I thought about this as well, like, look, because I get asked that, obviously, just playing all them, and I don't really mind.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say I change too much how I play, whatever position I play. I'd say pretty similar, but yeah.
But even your game understanding, like, you're coming at 9, like, even as your halfback position, obviously, you're so integral to, like, obviously, as a forward, you're shipping your forwards and you're implementing a game plan, and then you're trying to see what's in front of you. And then, obviously, your wing and fullback is your positioning and your work, and then on your defensive pendulum. Now I'm going from what I know, you know what I mean? Hats off to you. That's some pretty sublime,
I think it comes from playing 10 when you're younger. I would find, anyway, I played 10 until I was 18, 19, 20 nearly, and you can't understand where everyone's supposed to be, or you can't understand, the flow of, where lads will end up. So even, training at 10, I know Stu's kind of said, he trained lads at 10 just so they understand the game kind of better. So I've trained at 10. He's put, Robbie, Gary, and Hugo and all. We've all, trained at 10 before. Just to kind of get that understanding, and then you realize when you move out from it how much the 10 has to do, so you have to help them and talk to them and stuff. So I think it helps, playing a 10, you just kind of see the game a bit differently or understand where it all kind of flows and stuff.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea out of Stuart, isn't it?
Yeah,
get fellas in there so you get more respect for the 10s. One question I always wanted to ask you was, because you play so many positions from 9 all the way to 15 and you go into an Irish setup, Do you have to learn every single line then from every single position? Generally, some lads are like, oh, I only have to know that line because I only run there. You have to know everything.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Faz was like, I think the first time I went down to New Zealand, he was like, oh, just get around like wing 13 and 15. So I didn't have anything inside that. So I was like, all right, I'll just learn the N3. But it's not too, I don't know, it's not too, I'd learn it differently. For some lads learn it like, all right, the like wing does this line and they just write down like what the wing does. Because I had to learn so many positions, I've kind of end up just learning like what everyone ends up doing. So I kind of try and just learn the whole move. You get me, Joan? They have like three phase things and try to learn the whole thing. So in case I have to, because like the odd time I remember one of the walkthroughs out of nowhere, I didn't know, I was just thrown in a 13 and I hadn't a clue. And I was like, all right, I can't have that again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just kind of have to learn.
And the Irish setup that happened. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I just like, all right, I have to learn everything here now just to be safe.
Surely it's the boys helping you.
Oh, yeah. Because
they have to respect the fact that you're just jumping between 15 to 13 to 12 and like your line is going to change and they don't have time to be like, Jimmy, where were you? You have to hit it every single time.
Well, I actually ask them a lot. So if I was covering 13, I'd ask Gary, all right, like the little things, like what, like how would your line change if you were running this move or whatever? Yeah. Or like if I was on the wing, I'm covering 15, I talked to Hugo being like, all right, what is 15? Or what was they telling you to for 15 for this move and stuff? So two lads, they're the usually positions I'd be covering if I'm on the wing. So they'd help me out a good bit, like just talking to them and kind of what they'd be doing. So I think that helps, yeah.
Yeah, mad respect for you, man. Because I've been, not to your level, but like I played rugby for years and like just learning the moves at the level I was at was difficult. And you're at the top level and you're expected to just have your homework done. Like, so serious good work there. But that kind of mindset got you down to New Zealand for the Irish tour where you actually beat New Zealand in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Ridiculous, I'd say, is it?
Unbelievable tour. Jeez.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was just, I was just happy to be honest. When I got told I was on it, I was just delighted just to be like involved, whatever. And then playing the two Mary games was classic. So obviously, I was in camp maybe for a week in the Six Nations, I think, before. So I had no real experience of like the kind of Irish setup. So going away like 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks we were away or something, just being around all the coaches and stuff like that and how it kind of worked in there helped so much. And just playing, it was great having the two Mary games because I'd say like I probably wouldn't have went on the squad like if they didn't have the Mary games. Because they bought kind of an extended squad to kind of give lads chances. So it was just class. And then, like, for lads to beat them, it was, like, unbelievable. Oh, God.
Yeah. What was the training like that week? Like, I presume you did the Maori runs or the New Zealand runs against the top team.
Yeah. So we had the Maori game the Tuesday, I think. And then I think we trained maybe against one the Thursday and stuff before the game. And, yeah, it was just class. Like, yeah.
Just to be there and involved, seeing these guys going up against the best team in the world, beating them. Just, I'd say that for you, you were brought to, I presume Andy Farrell brought you down there to kind of integrate you into the squad so you can see where you are, gotten to now.
Yeah.
Just give you a bit of taste of it all. Did he speak to you before going down?
No, not really, no. Just got the email that I was going and then was just kind of like playing the first game, the Mary game. Like, obviously, I would have been delighted to like play, get my cap down there, but I wasn't really expecting it because I wasn't really expecting to go on the tour, to be honest. I was just delighted to get on it. And kind of then there was kind of like, you knew there was kind of like the lads were playing the weekend and like the Mary squad, and we were kind of just like focused on them, and like you were hoping maybe some of you might get in, but like the lads were playing so well, like the kind of the first game obviously was disappointing, but then they came back in the second game, they were like unbelievable. So like I don't think anyone was upset when they picked pretty much the same team. It was like, yeah, you lads are good. Yeah.
That's great.
So I was just delighted to play against the Marys, and it was just like, jeez, it was unbelievable that they won it down there. Like, God.
Yeah. And you had a good night out then as well.
Yeah. So my parents, right? My parents went down with Hugo Keenan's parents, PK and stuff. And
yeah.
They were just on like.
PK's Hugo's dad, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry. He was mental. And he just like, my parents and his parents would be very close and they just basically travel around New Zealand together.
Oh, lovely.
For the whole thing. But then they were all on the night out with us at the end. Like, so like I was, me and my parents, like jumping around a club together and stuff. Like, yeah. It was brilliant. Crack, yeah.
Amazing
memories
stuff,
for life.
Yeah. We're going to keep chatting about your career later on in the show, Jimmy, because it's just incredible what you've done. But we want to talk about the rugby on the weekend first. Lindsay, I presume you watched this Leinster game, or did you just turn it off at halftime? 57-0. Jimmy was playing, didn't score though, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, considering his ratio, games to tries ratio. Look, it was hard. I didn't switch it off. I'm obviously a loyal fan, and obviously being a player, I was kind of trying to think into my own psyche. I was like, how would you get up for a game like that? Because even before Gloucester came over, the game was poor, but that's nothing against you guys. I mean, yous were absolute. It was boys against men, to be honest. Like, I was like, I hear. But I was thinking to myself, as a player, it'd be infuriating. Like, so is it just kind of tick the box for you guys, or just what else can you do?
Yeah, well, like, you can only play what kind of team gets picked in front of you. And we kind of didn't think about it. We were kind of just focused on our own kind of like performance and stuff like that. And like, everyone just wanted to play well and play well for lads beside you, like whatever, and put in a good performance and just, yeah, get a win and get 5 points. Like, that was kind of the main thing. It was kind of, once they named their team, you're like, it's irrelevant whoever they brought over, kind of.
Because I know there was chat before the week, like, they were kind of giving out, oh, well, Leinster are really basically, Gloucester are coming over to play Ireland. And I was like, well, it's kind of defeatist attitude, isn't it? Before, if whether you're coming over to win or not, come over with your best team and, like, play. Like, this is a marker to get better, is would have been my take on it. And yet they were, like, kind of whinging. I was like, sorry here, lads.
Sure, it's such a good opportunity to go up against the best team in the world. Would you not want to see how good you can play against them?
Yeah, I'd be coming over in my pink Gloucester outfit trying to take a scalp off Leinster, because you can't. That's what you want. Like, no more than Ireland going down to New Zealand. That's where you want to pitch yourselves against, is, like, whether it's the club scene or whatever, you want to pitch yourself against the greatest. And they just missed an opportunity for me.
Again, like, I don't know what they obviously have some kind of thinking behind it. They must have big games and Premiership coming up or something. But yeah, again, we're just kind of focused on ourselves, like, and trying to just win as many games in the pool stages and stuff, and just try and get a home quarter or home round 16 quarter semi and stuff. Yeah. So.
And in a game like that, Jimmy, would it, like, once you went like 30-0 up or something, is it hard to stay motivated, or what kind of chat are you having amongst your team to keep the mindset in the game?
No, lads are still pretty motivated. It's kind of irrelevant. Like, I think at halftime, Gary's like, we'd be saying the same things here if we were 28-0 down or we're 28-0 up. Like, we're playing the same way we're going to play, like we usually play. Like, the score is basically irrelevant. So it was kind of just everyone, like, you don't want, like, if you switch off or whatever and you're, like, it'll just look poorly on you. Everyone wants to say, like, switch it on and still, like, go play how we usually play and stuff like that. Like, so that's kind of how everyone kind of just taking the next moment, kind of.
Such a competitive environment, like, I suppose you don't want to be the guy that slips up in that game against Gloucester, let the try go in, and then, oh, did you see Jimmy miss the tackle? Maybe we'll go with one of the other lads. So it's just always operating at that high level. And it was funny, Jim Hamilton and Brian O'Driscoll kind of had a go at each other on Twitter.
Yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Well, that goal was probably a bit dramatic, but Jim Hamilton came out before the game saying, I've just seen Gloucester's team to play Leinster in Dublin on Friday. After a 6-day turnaround, which is mental, until the Champions Cup is a fair playing field, you can't expect Prem teams to feel their strongest team against a team like Leinster, who are fully loaded and rested. Then O'Driscoll comes back and goes, but they both played in the exact same day last week.
Like, what's the story here, lads? To kind of, it was a lot of drama over the weekend, wasn't it, really, about the competition? I mean, clubs have the dates. Like, that's what your management is there for, is to kind of now, like, map out where you're going to get lads in, where you're going to train. Like, they could have rested lads before the European Cup started. So
seems like excuses to me.
Coming
over to play Leinster in Leinster.
We're calling you out on it. Look, congratulations to Leinster, because 57-0, look, it was job done. You stayed professional as ever. Like, it wasn't you guys. I enjoyed even the set piece. Like, Ronan Kelleher again, just, you know, he's like on fire now at the minute, isn't he? Like, what, he got two tries, didn't he?
It's so, having them two lads, like, there's literally no drop off. Wasn't like they're two unbelievable, and like, it's so good. I think I'd say for the coaches, they're just delighted. I'm like, one of them to come off the bench, one of them to start. They're both like unbelievable.
Keller was unlucky with his, he had a line out. He just wasn't 5 meter, didn't go 5 meter. I was like, oh, that would have been nice.
And what are those two lads like together? Is it very much they're pallies and they're helping each other get on, or are they like at loggerheads and don't really get on?
No, they get on really well. Yeah. And they help each other out like the whole time. I think that's most lads would do that in Leinster anyway. There's no one really like bitter to each other or something like that, who plays the same position or anything like that. Like, everyone's kind of helping each other out.
Hookers are mad anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, they are nutters.
They are.
And what's Gary like as a captain? We were a big fan of Gary on this show. I think every week we're just like, well, Gary Ringo's had another good game. And now he's gone into kind of the captaincy role when Johnny's not available. How's he stepping in there as a team?
Yeah, I really like him as a captain. He kind of leads by example, as you said. Like, he's been playing unbelievable this year. Like, next level. I found anyway, playing with him, and he's so good to play with. You just have so much trust in him. Let's say in like D or something like that, like, you just know he's going to get out to someone, or you know he's going to put in a big shot. And yeah, he's just playing unbelievable. And I think he's just grown even more so coming into the captaincy role this year.
Do you think he's kind of going to step into the boots if Johnny does retire eventually?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I actually haven't even thought about that. Just been Johnny for so long now.
Yeah. Because we give him a shout out because he does all this unrecognized, like to the untrained rugby eye, he does a lot of work that people probably wouldn't notice.
Yeah.
Like even in the autumns, like some of his defensive reads, it was just.
His defensive reads are insane.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
And then big shots and then big carries and big moments from him. Like he just probably didn't get, like he definitely was my player of the autumn series, I think, as consistency.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a, and he seems so calm. Even his post-match, he's just like, just so calm and reassuring, complimentary to you. He just seems a really good.
Yeah, he's very level-headed. Like nothing would kind of faze him. Even in the game, if you're talking to him, he's just like, he'd never get too high or too low. Kind of, he's always just kind of like even keeled, chatting to him in the game. If you, oh, we're thinking this, or like I saw that, he's like, okay, yeah, yeah, whatever. Like he's, yeah, he's
just
very kind of
nice.
Yeah.
Gets the job done. Yeah. All right. The next game we want to talk to about is Northampton Saints versus Munster. Munster are away and they won 17-6, which is a great little win, isn't it, Lindsay?
Look at that smile on your face. I just love this time of the week when we talk about Munster.
I know.
Do you know what? Congratulations. It was a good win.
Yeah, it was.
Probably lived on the edge a little bit because you had 3 yellow cards, if I'm correct. Casey, Jack O'Donoghue for fighting, which was kind of weird. And I think Joey Carberry at the end, which was kind of a team yellow for being offside. But I thought your defence was relentless. It was just, you just smothered Northampton and Gavin Coombs was like a wrecking ball. And I loved his second try off your line-out set piece. It was, I thought they actually lost Piero Manni. They got him up that quick in the line-out. I was like, oh God, they're going to lose him. And then just down to Tyke Byrne and a little trick play. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. And we're kind of seeing now the development of Munster between grubber kicks, the set piece, just moving the ball. I just, your mate Conor Murray, your fave was back.
Yeah, he was. Murray was back. Good to see him back in the number 9 jersey. And Craig came on then and
and tackled someone in the air.
Had a little bit of an issue. Yeah. I think he was lucky, to be honest, to not.
He could have got red.
Yeah,
and how they
red.
Didn't get a penalty try is absolutely beyond me.
I don't know if you saw that, Jimmy.
No,
did
I actually didn't see it. No.
He was too busy on his Christmas party.
I'm
so
in bed.
Craig still Casey. In the Christmas jumper.
Craig Casey tackled a guy in the air, but like fully turned and hit him like in the air. I presume he thought he had the ball in his hand or something. Got a yellow card, but they didn't get a penalty try. So I think Craig got lucky there, Lindsay.
Very lucky, because the winger did catch it, other than when he landed, he like lost it. And I was like, oh, you got away with that, boy. Because it was kind of like it was crossfield kick, right? So obviously Casey was in his position. And then as he turned, you know, I'm assuming now you have to like time it. Player, ball, man, watch it. And he just kind of got his timing wrong. And I was like, oh, you're gone. No yellow and no penalty try. Like the winger would have finished out.
Yeah, it was a weird decision, but I'm happy with it, obviously, because Munster got the win. But an interesting kind of pairing in that game was Carberry was at 10 and Jack Crowley was given a go at 12. What you trained with Jack in the Irish team. What's he like as a player?
Yeah, he's very good. We kind of saw him beforehand when we played Munster in the Aviva and he was playing 15. And we were doing like video on them. We could see like he's a very good ball player. Like that 10 kind of can bring it to the line, like fish lads out, good feet and stuff like that. So very impressive. And then when he came in, he was unbelievable. Like, like got them 2 opportunities in his class. I thought in the autumn, like for such a young lad. And he was like not expecting, I don't think, to even be in the squad. Or he wasn't in the squad, was it? It was Frawls, Joey and Johnny. And then like the 2 lads were out, like, and he came in, he was class. Yeah.
And even to the pressure wearing. Mr. Sexton's jersey for the last one against Australia. No pressure there, kid. Off you go.
But it's quite similar to you in that he's playing all different positions, 15, 10, 12. He hasn't made his way out to the wing yet. I don't think he has the speed you have. But have you kind of been chatting to him a bit about interchanging in different roles like that? Or
not too much. I think he's kind of focusing on 10. I was surprised. I didn't know if he played 12 when I saw he was. I was surprised he was playing 12. But like, obviously just that second ball player, it helps. Kind of getting lads in the flow and stuff like that and get works through like your kind of unstructured play phase and stuff like that. So,
And Anton Frisch has been playing well, so.
Anton Frisch had another great game.
Yeah, he did actually. He was back considering he was quiet last week against Lewis now, I thought.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was. I think what you were saying there, Jimmy, they got Crowley at 12 to have that second pair of hands, but it was a crap day over in Northampton.
Yeah,
so
it was foggy.
A lot of knock-ons and stuff. So he didn't really get to put his hand up there, but he might get another chance, maybe against Leinster. And Stephen's Day, we never know. Giving an insight in here to Jimmy. All right, the next game we just want to kind of run through very quickly. There was so much rugby on the weekend, but Ulster were playing against La Rochelle and they ended up playing in the Aviva Stadium, which was a bit nuts. They lost 36-29 after being down like
27-0
at halftime. Did you watch it, Lindsay?
Yes. Well, I saw the highlights. What do you do after last week's absolute no-show by them, right? Away to Sale. To come, like, to have to move from Ravenhill, where obviously the Ulster crowd, as you know, would be like, it's such a fortress for them to go to. Then they have to come down to the Aviva. They're waiting all week to see whether it's going on, off. They're moving. Then it's behind closed doors. Then you have a kind of a delegation of 5-year-olds. You'll have a shell of 5-year-olds coming to watch them. Like, I felt sorry for them. But I kind of, again, like, the first half, it was just Henderson got yellow carded for kind of jumping on the ground. It was just kind of, they seem out of sorts ever since that Leinster loss. And I don't, the first half kind of showed it. And then all of a sudden they kick in and, you know, Stuart McCrusty's doing a crossfield kick for Muna to score. They score 4 in the second half. And you're kind of asking yourself, well, where were you for the first half? You know, you could have had a good scalp here. So I don't know. There's still obviously time, but they've kind of given themselves an uphill battle. And I think it's just, they just seem out of sorts right now. And I kind of showed them the first. It was kind of tale of two halves, really, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was good to see them kind of pull it back together in that second half and show that they still have it to get 4 tries. But ever since they played Leinster in the RDS, they were just out of sorts.
They're so out of sorts.
Yeah, hadn't scored a try in that second half against Leinster, I don't think. And then they didn't score at all last week away to Sale. And then they didn't score in the first half against La Rochelle. And they're like, these guys have gone nearly 2 full games without scoring a point.
Well, even like a grubber from La Rochelle's out half, Ashtoy, I think his name is, and Cooney never collected it. And then he scores off that. It was kind of just, again, like errors you just don't see from an Ulster team that have been really the only challengers, say, as regards to the provinces and probably at URC for you guys. As I said, Henderson getting a yellow card. But then he comes on, he starts the ball rolling, he scores, John Cooney scores. Tom Shearer's having another breakout season. And then, as I said, for Muirland. So they kind of stood up, but like just uncharacteristic errors and penalties. And yeah, they just really need to get their
They seem to be pulling it together now off the basis of that second half, which is good to see, because I was getting a little bit worried that there's something going on up there. But they've had 2 ridiculous weeks, in fairness, when it comes to like travel and prep. Last week, they were only arrived an hour before the game. Yeah. Similar enough to you guys.
We were better than that, at least. We could arrive the night before, maybe 11:30 or something. So a lot better than an hour. I remember hearing that they were all flew like the morning of, wasn't it? And like 3 different flights and stuff, which, very disruptive, like, I don't know how.
And we were chatting last week on last week's podcast about that prep for Leinster and Ulster. Would that affect your psyche at all and your mindset going into the game, or how did you deal with that?
Lads were pretty relaxed, which was good. Kind of like joking about it the whole way. A lot better showing up. At least we knew we were going to get there the day before, kind of. I'd say it was a lot worse for them trying to get on the day of. But lads kind of, it almost made everyone kind of switch on even more, because it was like, all right, I'm not going to be the one who kind of screws up because of this travel. I'm going to be on my stuff, like, kind of even more so. So I think lads are even more switched on, like, the morning of, like, getting everything ready. And lads weren't as relaxed, like, because they were like, I'm not going to be the one who screws up, like, because of this travel. Like, it's not going to be me.
It's such a good mindset. And I suppose that is it, isn't it? Like, because obviously you have a set, like, your routine, whatever your nutrition, when you're going to eat. And that's so set for you. So then when everything is disrupted, you're going like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's nice to hear then, that everyone just kind of just chilled.
Yeah, everyone was kind of joking and laughing about it, like being like, what's going to go wrong next and stuff, and everyone's kind of chilled out about it. But yeah, I think the morning of, then everyone was like, kind of switched back in and was like, all right, I'm not being the one, basically. Like, it's not going to affect me, like, for this game, like, whatever. And everyone was kind of,
And you can kind of see that, because we were obviously spoken about James Lowe, who's obviously missed out a lot of international games. And like, again, like, he's probably one of the guys who's like, oh, I can't miss this opportunity because of so few now to get into a Six Nations and then to make a World Cup squad. Like, you could just see that. Like these were unbelievable against Racing. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah, you were classic. Like,
Pack was unbelievable. About 25 lineouts or something like that was, and Racing were like one of the best defensive lineouts, I think, in the top 14.
Yeah.
Glad to do that. Like, that basically just won us the game. As in, like, I was saying in the second half, I honestly was doing nothing. I was standing out in the right wing and all the lineups are on the left hand side. Oh. And I was just like, this is perfect.
Here's like a fan on the other side.
I was like, geez, the lad's doing really well here. Like,
and what did you do? So you were sitting in Dublin Airport when this frost was coming in and the cold snap.
Yeah.
And like, that's not good prep in relation to like getting food in.
Oh no.
Did you eat airport meals and stuff?
Yeah, we had to go like get sandwiches and stuff, and lads just eating anything and they could get their hands on. And then we kind of got on it. We were in the airport maybe 8:30, I think. And we got on the flight at around 1 and took off at 3. So we were sitting on a flight down for 2 hours as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's so bad.
And then we were like circling in the air over close to Le Havre, wherever you're supposed to. And then the pilot was like, oh, we can't land because of fog, so we have to go to Paris. And then like half was ending it. And then we were in Paris for 2 hours maybe in the airport. And lads just buying like sandwiches, anything they could get their hands on. And then they ended up getting taxis to the Havre, like 2.5 hour taxis to get it. Like, the World Cup was on though, which actually helped so much. The Dutch game went to extra time. Can't remember who they were playing, but...
Argentina.
Yeah, was the one, yeah. So someone had their iPad up in our taxi. And thankfully, they scored. Your man scored that last minute one off the free kick.
Yeah.
And I went extra time. I was like, thank God, because like this would have been so boring. And, like, we all would just be sitting there like this. Like, so.
It's so funny to hear the behind the scenes, isn't it? Just buying airport sandwiches and getting into taxis and stuff. And then to go out and beat Racing, like, ridiculous.
That's the gas in there, isn't it? So thankfully for Dublin Airport and its crappy sandwiches, I'm sure it got us going.
Yeah, good advert.
I can imagine the French taxi men as well just rubbing their hands going, oh, these lads, poor prep, would probably win. And then obviously money in their pocket for the 2.5 hour journey.
Yeah, so Ulster had no excuse last week, but this week they had all the mishaps with Kingspan Stadium. Supposedly it was frozen on the Friday night, but then all the players and even Dan McFarlane were saying it was fine on the Saturday. But by that stage, they'd shifted it to the Aviva, told no supporters they could come, but the already La Rochelle people had arrived into Ireland, so they let them guys come in. I think the 160 La Rochelle supporters were allowed in, so the Ulster fans were livid over that. There's so much drama. And do you think that would have affected the Ulster lads as well?
Yeah, like, again, it's a preparation, like, definitely. As like I said, there was just so much, like, unknown about it, even on the day of it, which, like, would annoy me. Anyway, the day of, thankfully, we were all the day before. And, like, once you woke up that morning, it was like, all right, just go as normal then.
Yeah.
But the day of, like, having all that unknowns, where it's going to be and stuff like that, like, I'd say, subconsciously, like, you try not to let it affect you, but I'd say, like, it's maybe it would have got, like, in the back of your mind.
It would have to, like, a little bit. Funny enough, I bumped into Brian O'Driscoll outside the stadium. I was going to a club game, Shannon versus Lansdowne, on the back pitch of Lansdowne, Aviva Stadium. And O'Driscoll was like, thank God I got moved here. So he only had to nip down the road and do the work.
He was delighted.
Like, so maybe he had something to do with it all.
Same for our Pat. He was on the way up to Ravenhill, but he decided, very happy man.
You're all delighted. So, do you know what? We'll say to Ulster that's your excuses now, and that's it, and get back to playing for
We miss you. We miss the Ulster way now with the last couple of weeks, and you're better than that. So let's
have a good Christmas and get your act together. Because you're chasing down Leinster. So they're still sitting second in the URC, Leinster top. Do you feel that kind of heat at your backs, or even thinking about Ulster chasing you down?
Kind of. Like last year, really annoyed us. We lost them twice in the URC, and I was playing both games. And
well, RDS was unexpected, really.
Unexpected, yeah. And then up there was terrible weather and lost by 7 or something. So that was really annoying. So it was good to kind of beat them twice this year. They're very good. Like, always such a tough game playing against them. Like, because they kind of know you inside out because you know them so well. And then even up in Ravenhill, such a tough place. I've played there a good few times and I think I've lost them 3 times up there. Like, maybe out of 5 or something like that. Like, so... such a tough place to go, and they're a quality team. Like, so yeah,
they're well matched for you, aren't they? Because they have a good pack. Their halfback pair, and I think this week it was Doak and Cooney at 9 and 10, and then obviously their centres like McCluskey's a man mountain who holds a rugby ball like it's a tennis ball. I was so they seem like a good outfit that can actually match us.
They are very good. Tough to play against. Like, God, when you're playing like. They do like wear you down. We're playing against them like you feel a proper game, like
very physical. A test match. Yeah. And then Dan McFarlane, I'd say he's a man. I'd say is well able to just pick teams apart if you can just get that consistency. So obviously my money's still on Leinster. Sorry.
All our money's on Leinster, to be honest. But the other Irish team in action the weekend was Connacht. They were in the Challenge Cup up against Breve, and they won 31-24.
Mr. Kilgallen got another try. Another Easttown man.
Yeah. Dean Kilgallen got a try. Yeah. Papalihi got another red card. That lad is a head case. You ever played against him, Jimmy?
I don't think.
He was with Connacht, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he was in Connacht. Yeah. I don't think I played against him. So I don't think. Maybe I did actually.
You probably have at some stage along the way.
Yeah, maybe I did. He came off the bench. I think I do. Yeah.
He came off the bench. Was he still with Connacht last year? I think the same fella. And he came off the bench and he was absolutely like same thing, just ripping. He was just like swatting players like they were kids.
Yeah, he's an incredible player, but like he just keeps getting red cards. It's very dangerous. So Papalihi, sort your stuff out. That's not okay, man. But good to see Connacht getting another win. They had the 4 tries, so they're back in flying form now, coming into Christmas, which is great. So that's all the Irish provinces done. And then Munster and Leinster are going to be playing on Stephen's Day. How are you feeling about that one, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's a class game. It always is. I played twice down there now. I played the Stephen's Day the first year, maybe 4 years ago. One down there, and it was unbelievable. Like the crowd in Thomond around Christmas was just class. Like the lads just like properly on it, getting roared at and stuff like that. Like, so it's a good crack. Like, and then like the stadium's always buzzing down there as well. Like, so yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah,
there's a lot of people going to it now. So obviously it's in my hometown of Limerick. Yeah. I'm not going, but a lot of my mates are going. So it's going to be a good one, I think. Hopefully the weather isn't too bad. Bring you boys down and have a good game there for everyone on Stephen's Day, hungover from Christmas. But surely that affects your Christmas then, does it? You don't really get to enjoy yourself fully.
Not as much, no. So you'd be like, you get Christmas Day off, but you would have done your captain's run on Christmas Eve, sort of morning. So I do that, and then I drive back home then to Kildare after, so you don't really get too much time off, but...
And you strict them for the Christmas dinner, because I mean, every Irish person lives for their Christmas dinner.
Oh no, like I need everything like on the Christmas dinner day.
It's good carb load.
Yeah, carb load. Yeah,
100%. What better prep?
So no, it's not too bad. Like you can still enjoy your dinner, but
you won't be able to have a drink or anything like that.
No, nothing like that. Yeah.
So you forget about that with the old professional players. Like they don't really get to enjoy their Christmas breaks and stuff.
Same with the Premiership. Well, when I played basketball, you see, cup season was January, so kind of the same thing. Like I never. I used to Stephen's Day, you're out for a run and you're kind of training, and then the day after Stephen's Day, like building up for this pinnacle of the season. So it's tough, but then you're coming into a good time.
Yeah, it's annoying, but like I'd be giving out to my friends at home, like, and they just tell me, shut up, like, you're getting to play rugby in there.
Yeah,
9 to 5, so I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah.
Enough. It is the best job in the world, really, to be honest. Yeah. But then you won't even really get to enjoy yourself between Stephen's Day and New Year's, because you have another game at New Year's then.
Yeah, Connacht the New Year's, So, like, this is, like, one of the busiest times. It's just getting like 9 or maybe 10 games in a row now or something since after the internationals. So yeah, just such as life. Yeah, it comes with the game, but like you kind of enjoy like playing. So like I don't really mind too much.
So just to round up the rest of the European weekend, guys. Exeter Chiefs had a huge win over the Bulls, and Leicester Tiger also sent off Steve Borthwick. We think he's after being sent off because he's. The chat is that he's going to be getting the England job, which is being announced today, actually. So by the time this podcast is out, we might have more information.
Obviously didn't listen to our pod last week.
He didn't listen to our pod. No. He's going to step into that England role, which I think is a bit crazy. But what do you think about that, actually, Jimmy, before I call out the results? The changing of a head coach before a World Cup, like 9 months out?
Yeah, it's pretty mental. Like, I don't know why I think Eddie Jones is very good. Like, he's proven he's very good. Obviously, I wasn't keeping up to date too much on it over there, but Borthwick's very good. As like when we played Leicester, we watched a load of them last year because we had them in the quarterfinal, like, and he's turned them into like a quality team. It's so hard to beat. You saw last year won the Premiership, like they're very, very good. So like he's gonna be good. Like he's a good coach. Yeah. Like and he got the lads because Leicester obviously weren't in a very good vein of form there before for a couple of years, and he turned it completely around. But it's a bit like. Mad enough to be firing a coach that close to World Cup.
Do you think it would affect, say for instance now Andy Farrell got shipped out, now he wouldn't because he's doing so well, but the ethos of the team and the game plan and just the buzz and the vibe around it, would it change that much? Or does it come down to the players?
Yeah, so probably come down to the players, I'd say more so. So I don't think it would change too much. Depending on how, if you brought in maybe Borthwick coming in with a complete new game plan or whatever, maybe, but I'd say the players obviously respect him because he's played for England and he's been successful now as a coach. Like, so I'd say they'll all buy into it. They know they have to kind of before World Cup. So yeah.
But even for him to put his stamp on it in 9 months, do you know what I mean? And he's, like you said, he's done such a great job at Leicester. We were kind of recommended to him just sign the contract for post World Cup. So let him finish his journey with Leicester and then take a fresh start with a fresh group of players post World Cup. Because I can't imagine now the pressure on his shoulders now going into World Cup being England, the birth of the home. The birthplace of rugby itself, and obviously what they want to achieve in this World Cup. So I don't know. I think he's mad, to be honest, personally.
I think it's a tough gig to be taken over when obviously there's an issue with the team at the moment. They're not playing that well. They haven't got the results, and there's only a couple of weeks before Six Nations. Like you know yourself, Jimmy, you can't go in and just start changing everything. Yeah. Like he'd probably just be slotting in and nearly overseeing it. Someone like Owen Farrell might be stepping up and running the show. What do you think?
Yeah, like you can't bring in too many changes. Obviously, they'll probably get a week training before the first game, maybe 2 weeks training. So they can't come in with like a massive thing. I presume if he's signed, I'd say he'll have signed from probably to the next World Cup. Like, but I'd say it's tough for him to turn down. Like, it's probably his dream job.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. Like, it's probably he's getting offered his dream job now, and he's like, okay, if they bring someone in and they do well, I'll have to wait like again or whatever. Yeah. So I could see why he probably took it. Like,
so the game where we're referring to there was Leicester versus Claremont. Leicester won 23-16. So they're the guys that are going to really lose out if Steve Borthwick leaves, because they're they've just got themselves back to being the powerful Leicester that they were for years, and now they have to go find a new head coach.
I know. And as if the Premiership haven't had enough drama either with, you know, Wasps and Worcester and the money and all this crap. So, to be honest, your international is obviously going to take precedence, but, I mean, it's sad to see when, and yeah, like, they've, for such a big club, been out exiled for a long time, now they're back in the big time. You're like, oh, is this going to affect them poorly again? And they're back to square one, so hopefully not.
Look, that's professional sport, I suppose, isn't it? I mentioned that Exeter smashed Bulls 44-14, and I'll just give a quick readout of all the other games. Bordeaux Begla lost to Sharks. Bordeaux were at home. Leinster, our very own Jimmy was playing, smashed Gloucester 57-0. Edinburgh and Cass played in Edinburgh, and Edinburgh won 31-20. Leon and Saracens played in Leon when Saracens got the win 28-20. Ulster, as we spoke about earlier, lost in the Aviva Stadium to La Rochelle 36-29. Stormers won 34-14 against London Irish, which is a good win at home. Montpellier lost at home to Ospreys, which was an interesting one.
Interesting.
Yeah, Toulouse smashed Sale with Anton Dupont, got two tries. He's ridiculous, isn't he, Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, he's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. Yeah. Like. And then Munster won away to Northampton. And Harlequins beat Racing 14-10, and Harlequins were at home. So Racing's lost twice now in the European Cup, which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
See what happens there. Because that's your group, right?
Oh, they're just all over. Well, we have to play Racing again, yeah, and then Gloss. Well, so it's like...
It's all mixed
whole,
up.
Yeah, the whole mix-up thing. Yeah, you just kind of... The way I look at it is just try and win every game and then see where you land and see how it figures out, like, because like the whole groups thing is a bit all over the place.
Yeah, just next game mentality the whole time.
Yeah,
brilliant stuff. Okay, and we'll give our Never Stop Competing moment of the week together with Bank of Ireland. Jimmy's actually won this before a couple of weeks ago, and for your game against South Africa, as Lindsay mentioned. But this week we're going to give it to the Welsh sides, even, for finally showing up and getting some results. It was a big win for Ospreys away to top 14 champions in Montpellier. So well done, Wales, with all your woes in the international team. Good to see the clubs doing well.
That's the word waiting for, because every week we slate them. We're like, come on, God's sake, the poor Welsh rugby. But anyway, you finally had your moment and we hats off.
Exactly. Never stop competing moment of the week with Bank of Ireland goes to the Welsh sides for getting their club system back together. But a little bit of news before we finish the show. Finn Russell has supposedly signed for Bath. Well, he has signed for Bath, but supposedly for $1 million a season. Just a little bit of money there into his pocket. What do you make of that, Lindsay?
Maybe he'll adopt me and I can have some of it. It's ridiculous money, isn't it? We're kind of getting into now soccer territory. And yeah, I think he's a man who's a magician when he wants to be. But for me, sometimes he's inconsistent, isn't he? Like, even with Scotland, he's like in, he's out, he's done something bold. He's gone again. Like, he's, I don't know. What do you think?
What do you make of that?
That's a crazy amount of money, but he's very, very good.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he? Who is the toughest player, actually? Is he one of the toughest players you've ever played against?
He probably has a range of everything. So when we were scouting him and stuff, like, everyone had to be switched on. Like, let's say there's Rook on the far side. He loves crossfield kicks. So I remember being on the other side being like, right, this could come any second. There's lads in the middle thinking he could chip it. Mm. He could just double pump it and, like, send someone through the line, pull it back real deep or fire that real. Like, he's just a range of skills where, like, everyone has to be switched on in defence. Like, so he is very tough to play against. It is crazy money that we're getting into in rugby now.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think there's a place for that in rugby? It's kind of approaching football kind of talk, isn't it? $1 million for the season. Like.
Yeah. Probably, well... If it's sustainable, then fire away. I don't know. I don't know the whole ins and outs of the financials now behind it all. But I presume it's only just going to get bigger and bigger. Hopefully, rugby and more money will come into it. But it's
be good for you, Jimmy. Anyway,
I'll be long retired. I'd say before all that stuff happens. Yeah,
before it makes our way to these shores. Yeah, because obviously that's over in Bath. It's in the Premiership. We've had their money troubles in the last couple of months, Pat, the producer, was saying that there's marquee signings or something. That's why they can get away with it.
So
each Premiership club has one or two marquee signings. And they can pay them whatever they want.
Yeah, so just in case anyone doesn't understand, well, who might know that there's obviously salary caps in England, which is nice to see. So then clubs aren't in jeopardy of obviously gone into liquidation, which we saw a lot, this season with two of the clubs. So obviously these marquee players then don't come in under that. So they're not, bound by the salary cap, so they can kind of pay them what they want.
Yeah. What do you think, Jimmy? Move over to the Prem to get $1 million in your pocket?
No. Try playing World Cup first and then
and see what happens.
No, I'd be I want to stay here for as long as I can, and as long as they'll have me.
Yeah, well, sure, you are in the best club in the world, so why would you leave?
Yeah, heard it here, say that again, sorry.
They are the best club in the world.
Happy Christmas, Leinster fans, you heard it here.
Until Stephen's Day when they come down to Dublin Park.
Please, I'm going to bring the tissues for post-Christmas for you again.
No, it should be a great game, and hopefully, Jimmy, you'll be playing.
Hopefully, yeah.
Thanks very much for coming in. I appreciate your time, man.
No problem.
No pressure now, but I'd like a try at least one on the 26th, all right?
I've been on a drought. I can't go to school.
No, I can feel it in my waters, Jimmy. You're going to make a comeback. Four tries against Munster.
Yeah, we'll see. And thanks very much, Lindsay, as always.
Oh, thank you, honey.
You're brilliant. And cheers, Pat, for all your work.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. And of course, an even bigger thank you to Bank of Ireland, our partners and proud supporters of the four Irish provinces. We'll catch you next week, guys, for the Munster-Leinster game and all the other games that are on. But also, happy Christmas. Talk to you soon.
Happy Christmas.
Joe presents House of Rugby, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces. Yeah.